In a world of conflicting values, when questions are more common than answers, God's Word provides everything we need to live a God-centered, truth-driven life. Now, here's the Word for Life broadcast, brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church.
Well, good morning. On this Monday morning, April 1st, so it's not an April Fool joke that you're tuning in here today. This is legitimate. But thank you for doing that. I'm Mark Widmer and joining Pastor Ken Keltner. Hopefully this weekend was a great weekend for you with Resurrection Day celebration, Good Friday, reminding us of Jesus' cruel death on the cross for the purpose of taking away our sin, paying the penalty for our sin. And what a great weekend it was. You know, we're studying in the book of Revelation about the church at Sardis right now and how they were alive, they thought, but God said, no, really, you're dead. And just makes me wonder how many of us individually or corporately, even as churches, you know, big day, big weekend, big event, celebration, so forth. But maybe starting today, maybe it begins to show our real heart. You know, do we have a real passion for the Lord and so forth? But anyway, Pastor Ken's going to do this. Just before he begins to talk about that, though, I want to remind you that Brookside is going on a trip to the Holy Land next year in February, late February, early March. And it's going to be a great trip. We'd love to have others come with us. If you'd like information about that trip, contact the church office, and we've got a full brochure for you that covers the itinerary and all the details, but we'd love to have you do that.
Dr. Craig Hartman is going to be leading that trip, and a Jewish man himself, Messianic Jew, and it's going to be a wonderful trip. Great introduction there to lead us into City of Sardis, Pastor Mark, but you piqued my memory there with April Fools, you know, April 1st. I just thought this would be interesting to share with you. Probably one of the greatest April Fool's jokes that's ever been played was played on a pastor in Denver, Colorado. Mm. He showed up to the church that Monday morning, and there was caution tape all around the church, and they had bulldozers there. They had, you know, the wrecking ball, and he was, I mean, there were probably 30 guys working around to try to get the church to where they're going to take it down, and he jumps out of his car, and he goes, what in the world? Hey, hold on, who's in charge here? And so they finally get him to the right guy, and he goes, no, this is the address? Yeah, we're paid to take the church down. Uh-huh. He goes, no, sir, no, I don't know where you got that information. That is not what you're supposed to do. And they were out at the front of the church by the main road. He goes, well, those guys right over there said I'm supposed to take it down. And it was a whole busload of men from the church. And they were all waving with the sign on the side of the bus that said, April Fool, Pastor. I thought, man alive, to come up to that. I would have followed for that like any pastor would have.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, let's get back to the church at Sardis, because this was no joke of what was going on with them. You got to think of the excruciating eternal impact of being busy and active in the church, but ending up not really being known by Jesus Christ in a good way. Why don't you read all of verse 1 for us, and that will help catch us up, Pastor Mark.
And to the angel of the church in Sardis write, the words of him who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your works. You have a reputation for being alive, but you are dead.
You know, the question of the moment really is, for each of us, is your heart, is my heart in the same place that your mouth is saying you are? I mean, we can talk and about God and the Lord, we can sing about the Lord and perhaps even teach a class, but do we really have that personal relationship where our heart belongs to Him? I mean, this must be really, Pastor Mark, as I looked at it and studying it, the most damning indictment our Lord could give to any church. Mm-hmm. You're dead. Mm-hmm. You think of when Eli's daughter-in-law gave birth after she heard her husband was dead and then her father-in-law was dead, but it was when she heard that the Ark of the Covenant had been taken. Yep. You know, she said, name the child Ichabod. Oh. The glory of the Lord has departed from this place. I think those are the worst indictment on any church to not see the hand of God at work. Mm-hmm. I tell people I'm at Brookside all the time because I see God at work and I want to be where God's at work.
Mm-hmm.
And if I see God's not at work, then I want to be the first one out. I want to be where God's at work. And this church, again at Sardis, seemed by outward appearances to be alive and well, but appearances, they can be deceiving. It had a good reputation in the community. It was evidently not really on the brink of closing its doors. I mean, Christians possibly in some of the other towns probably spoke well of the church at Sardis. I mean, who knows?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, maybe they hosted church conferences and or had luncheons there. Who knows? Maybe their pastor wrote books and traveled to speak at churches throughout the whole Asia Minor area. I mean, perhaps they even had the largest congregation of the seven churches that are mentioned here in Revelation 2 and 3. But yet, what does all that matter when we're merely going through the motions? What is it that can lull a church into spiritual apathy, into the loss of vitality? So, Pastor Mark, you jump in on this with me, because I just want to take a little time to talk about how does apathy and a loss of excitement and a loss of vitality start to weigh in and start to become prevalent within a church?
Mm-hmm.
Well, first of all, I would say I believe it can begin by worshiping the past. That is, the congregation says, well, you should have been here in the good old glory days. They share their former exploits for Christ, but their testimony seemed to be kind of stale and covered with dust by bygone years.
Mm-hmm.
Author Dr. William Barclay confirms this by writing even, I quote, a church is in danger of death when it begins to worship its own past, and when it is more concerned with that which is material than with its spiritual things. So, not only worshiping the past, but I think a church can lose that excitement for the Lord when it starts to just want to protect its traditions, and it doesn't really hold the doctrine.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's really easy to, I think this is something that I battle with, is seeing things that are done in ministry, for people. But it is so easy when you're busy and so forth to kind of see them as events, you know, so you work hard for them to come, they're great when they happen, when it's over. You know, it's kind of like the basketball coach that says after a win, oh yeah, we're going to enjoy this for 30 minutes, but then we're getting on to the next game, you know, and so forth. As opposed to, this is something we're doing for the Lord, for His glory, to reach people, you know, so forth. And that's our passion. And it just kind of continues. And I think it probably looks the same from the outside, but keeping that heart is, I think, really important.
Yeah, I think too, you know, when a church becomes infatuated with itself rather than being focused on, you know, what Christ is doing and what Christ has done.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the symptoms of this kind of church are that all it ever does is just takes care of itself. It's not really outward looking.
Yeah.
People join because of what the church can do for them rather than joining a church because of what they could do for Christ within the church. But I think another big element, and you might have even some stories on this, Pastor Mark, is a church can be lulled into the spiritual apathy, I think, when it refuses to welcome new people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, hey, that's my seat you're sitting in. That's my parking lot. Hey, somebody's sitting in my chair, and somebody's eating my porridge. The trouble is that this is not as much a fairy tale as it is really the attitude of many Christians.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
In 40 plus years of ministry, I have horror stories of hearing, no, tell me, no one really came up and told you, this is my pew, you need to get out of it, or this is my chair, get out of it.
Yeah.
But I hear it happens.
Yeah. Yeah. Even in a smaller way, I think, you know, you've got just typical church service, right? Sunday, and a guest comes in through the door, but 90% of the people don't even notice because they're with their group of friends that they're very comfortable with and so forth, you know, but they're not even noticing or thinking about other people around them.
And, you know, I've been, you know, I think probably everybody can say they've been to churches that haven't been friendly. And I've stood in line to tell the pastor, hey, great job. That was a wonderful challenge to my heart today from the Word. And they just never give you the time of day even, you know. So pastors are often guilty of this themselves.
We've had, I remember clearly going to a church one time where my wife and I walked in. Nobody greeted us. We sat through the whole service. Nobody greeted us except one person. But and so then they had all the visitors stand. Uh-huh. So we stood up and all. But I noticed that over the way, there was another visitor who's being treated just like we are. So after the service was over, I went over to them. I said, hey, thanks for coming. You know, we really enjoy having you here and hope you come back and so forth. So at least they'd leave.
With somebody saying something to them.
Yeah.
I remember we were down in Florida and looking for a church on a Sunday and went to a church. And when we walked in, the teen, you know, there were about three teens playing with a ball right in the lobby. So you're kind of dodging the ball to get into the auditorium. Nobody's in the auditorium. And I mean, it was, we had about eight of us, and we kind of sat towards the middle front, place pretty empty. Pastor walked by us once, kind of a nod of the head. And it was basically us, and maybe a couple other families. He never did talk to us, even after the service. And afterwards, there was an elderly family, that couple that came up, and they said, hey, thank you for coming. I hate it that you see our church in this condition. They said this used to be a thriving church that was just passionate for serving God, but we've really drifted off and drifted away. It was heartbreaking to see it, but yeah but even pastors have to hold to that too. But it's really notable here that Jesus does not mention anything positively they had done in this church. He doesn't mention that they were suffering persecution. He doesn't mention the church at Sardis. You don't seem to be seriously infected with false doctrines. We don't find any mention of a mysterious Nicolaitans weighing here in the ministry. There's no hint of sexual immorality in the church, nor is the church warned about losing its first love. And I'll close with Ray Stedman's comment here. He said, tensions and struggles may be unpleasant, but at least they are signs of life within the church. And this church in Sardis was so devoid of spiritual life that it actually had no struggles whatsoever going on within it. I know we don't like struggles, but Dr. Bob Sr. used to say the door of success swings on the hinges of opposition. If a church is really active, doing what God wants, there are going to be issues because Satan wants to make sure he can stop the believers from moving forward and advancing God's kingdom. I trust that today God will use you to advance His kingdom, and He'll use me to do just that. Trust you'll be able to join us in our next broadcast. Thank you for being part of the Word for Life today.
We hope you enjoyed today's program. If you have a question we can answer or would like information on the Word for Life, would like to donate to continue to produce this broadcast, or need resources for your Christian walk, contact us at Brookside Baptist Church, 4470 North Pilgrim Road, Brookfield, Wisconsin, 53005. You can also visit us at brooksidebc.org. That's brooksidebc.org. Or call us at 262-783-6180. That's 262-783-6180. Thanks for listening today, and please tune in again as we bring the Word of God to your life.